All right, so let's read, starting with Numbers 11, and we'll start with verse number 4. Numbers 11, verse number 4. It says this, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.' Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color was like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of a pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families and everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased." And now we're going to jump all the way to verse 31 of the exact same chapter, verse 31. So this is what the Lord did about it. "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey from on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and they gathered quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague." So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people who had yielded to craving. This is a very interesting part of the Bible. The history of it is that the Israelites are in the desert, and God is supplying for their needs supernaturally. Every single day, He is giving them manna sent from heaven. He is making this manna appear. It describes it here, this little coriander-type seed. They would go out each day and pick some only for that day. And if they picked more, then it would rot. So God would not allow them to be dependent for any more than one day, except on the Sabbath day, where He allowed them to pick two, because they were supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. So after a while, this is what's happening. So now liken it to what goes on in our lives. We just came through Thanksgiving. If any of you have hosted Thanksgiving, probably there was some turkey or ham or whatever it is that you prepared left over. And after one day, you're like, "Oh yeah, I love those leftovers, and that's great, and they're stuffing, and we eat it, and it's fantastic." And then the next day, it turns into turkey sandwiches, and then it's turkey soup, and then it's turkey tetrazzini, and then it's turkey this, and it's turkey that. And after a while, you're like, "I'm sick of turkey. I'm just tired of turkey. And I don't want to see it again until whenever." And we mix it up. And I know, I've been with many of you. You like to eat, you like good things, and you want it. And even if somebody suggests, "Well, I had this for breakfast," and then they serve it for lunch, you're like, "Well, I already had that." And if somebody would dare serve it again for dinner, you'd be like, "Come on. I've already had that for lunch, and I had it for breakfast, and now I'm going to have it again for dinner." This is the way we are. And if somebody would do that for like a week, you'd be like, "Are you kidding me? Turkey again? I had turkey every which way. And I'm trying to hide it in pasta, and I'm trying to hide it around tortellini, and I'm trying to hide it around all these other things. But it's still there. I know it's there." Well, look at what they got. They got manna. And that's it.
It's not manna with pasta. It's not manna with tortellini. It's not manna lasagna. It's not all these things. It's manna. That's it. It's the exact same thing three times a day, every day. It doesn't say God provided them with a side salad. It doesn't say that God provided them with a nice cheese log. It doesn't say there was a nice brie on the side. That's it, manna. And this goes on and on and on with no end in sight. So we could pick on the Israelites, but probably you and I wouldn't even last more than 3 days before we start complaining. So this is the situation that we come into, and they are frustrated to the point of weeping because they don't like the provision that God has given them. He's providing supernaturally. Think about what God is doing here. You think He doesn't know that people will be frustrated after a couple of days? You think He doesn't know? You think He can't provide a different meal every day? He could do that. But He didn't. Because God's looking at what's in the hearts of us as well as them. And sometimes God does this. God just gives us stuff that's what we need to survive and what we need, but it might not be exactly what we want. And He does it to see what our reaction is. He does it to see what's in our hearts because it comes out right away. It doesn't take too long to see what you're really made of. If you're going to complain about this, if you're going to grumble about that, oh, come on. And God, He knows all these things. He knows that their heart is going to be tested, and He does the exact same thing to us many times too. The Bible tells us that there's a verse in 2 Chronicles that says God left him to try him so that he'll know all that's in his heart. He wants to know what's in your... Well, He knows what's in your heart. He wants you to see what's in your heart. He wants you to see this is what's inside of you. You might look good when everything's going well. You might look good when everything's going your way. But as soon as it doesn't go our way, then what's inside comes out. And this is exactly what's happening here. They are not content with what God has provided. They are not content with the provisions of the Lord, even though they are clearly supernatural and they are clearly from God Himself. Sometimes we go and we get things and maybe we make a bad choice. We try something new and it's not really that good, and maybe we'll blame ourselves, but this is clearly from the Lord. It can't be blamed on our trying something new. It can't be it's just God. And there's no doubt about it, but yet they're at the place where they said, "No, we're tired of what God has provided for us." And sometimes we go along those paths too. We could see from verse 4 where it says in chapter 11, it says what happens. It says they had intense cravings. They wanted something. And how many of us have been there as well? We want something. And it's not just food. It could be anything. We have those desires, intense desires, and sometimes those desires just fill our minds. I want to get this. I want that new TV. I want that new boat. I want that promotion. I want this. I want that. And it just fills our minds, and we become focused so much on that. It's this intense craving. And sometimes we can't figure out how to get it. And we get sad inside. We get down inside. They're even crying over it because they don't like the food that they've been given. Probably we would do the exact same thing. And then they look around and they say, "Well, others have it. People in Egypt have it. How come we can't have it? Look, remember all of our neighbors, remember all the Egyptians. They had cucumbers, they had leeks, they had onions, they had garlic. And we do the same thing. We look around and say, they have it, why can't I have it? How come him? I'm better than that guy. And I don't get it. I'm a child of God. How come I can't? We go through all these things in our minds. And God is just trying our heart. He's just testing our hearts. He's just letting us, giving us the opportunity to see what's in there. All of the situations that we go through, sometimes God is just trying to get us to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and say, this is what's inside of you. Because He's in the job, as Ted had pointed out today, of changing lives. He changes hearts. He's trying to change our hearts if we will just let Him. And He's working on us day and night. And sometimes we just have our hearts set on something. And look at how they handle this. It's really, really amazing. When it talks about in the verse 31, 32, it says that these folks, they worked all day. It says they stayed up all that day. Then they stayed up all night. And then they stayed up all the next day. These folks, remember, these are the folks that would complain about everything. It's too hard, it's too hot, it's too this, it's too that. Now, when they're getting what they want, it's okay to stay up all day. It's okay to stay up all night. It's okay to stay up all the next day and work. Because God didn't put those quail right in front of them. He put them a day's journey away. He put them so that they had to walk a distance to get them, and then they had to walk back, and they had to stay up all night, and then they stayed up. It seems like they stayed up maybe 20, 24 hours. We don't know exactly, but it seems like they were up all night, all the next day. Who knows when they slept? These are people that was complaining, and this is very much like us. We will grumble when we don't get our way. But when we get our way, oh, no problem. I'll work really hard. I'll go the extra mile. I'll do whatever I have to as long as I get my way. And the Bible tells us that they were just so focused on getting what they wanted. I know this measurement doesn't make sense to most people in our culture. Of course, we don't measure in homers. But a homer is about 590 gallons. That's a lot. Let's just say 600 gallons to make it easy. Let's just say that the normal filled up bathtub, if you fill it from all the way to the top, that's about 590 gallons. And it says that the person who gathered the least gathered 10 bathtubs full of them. They weren't supposed to gather for more than a day, but here the least one is gathering 10 of those. That's a lot of work. And in God's eyes, He must be looking at this and saying, they just can't stand what I'm giving them. Here they are trying to gather as much as they can because they don't want to go back to what I've given them. They don't want to go back to manna. They're afraid. They're afraid it's going to be manna. And that is what it was going to be. But they're like, I want to gather as much as possible. I don't want to... You could hear, you could imagine what's going through their minds. I'm sick of that manna. I don't want that stuff. I'm going to get me some quail and get me a bunch of it. And God looks at that and says, can't you be content with what I've given you? Can't you be content with what I've given you? He's given us himself. He's given us himself. It might not be exactly what we want. It might not be exactly what we see others have. It might not be any of those things. But it's what God has given us. Yes, if we make mistakes, okay, fine. If we've done things which take things away from us or cost us or have consequences, that's different. But many cases we do everything that we can and yet still we end up with whatever we end up. And then those places, the Bible says, when you've done all that, you just stand. This is what I have. This is what God is allowing. I prayed and it doesn't change. I've tried and it does. I've done everything I can and it doesn't change. Sometimes God is just saying, can you be content with what I give you? I've allowed it. And I'm giving this to you so that you see your heart. To see if you can handle what I'm giving you. And what is really going on inside of you. But instead, there they are hoarding. And there they are gathering as much as they can because they're telling God, and maybe it's not in these direct words, but it's like if you went to somebody's house and they provided dinner for you, and then somebody else came in with some other food and you're like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Who wants to eat what this is? Thank God you brought that ham. Thank God you brought this. This is kind of what it's like. Think about it. Yeah, they're nice little stories, but they have all the emotion that we go through. They have all the thoughts that we go through. The Bible is a very practical book. It addresses practical situations. And they're basically saying, God, we know you have a nice meal, but we'll leave that. We want this one over here. And it just shows what's in their heart. Instead of gratitude, they were complaining. Instead of being content, they were dissatisfied to the point of envying being slaves again in Egypt. And God knows what's in our hearts. And God knows. And God knows how we will respond. And He sees that we're willing to work very hard for many other things. But then when God asks us to do something, then often it's, well, that's a lot of work. I don't know if I want to do all that. I don't know if I want to make the sacrifice to do something that maybe might be for God's kingdom. And we go through those same things, and God's looking at the hearts. God looks at the hearts. Well, there's a prayer meeting, but I don't know if I want to go there. But it would be no problem if the boss said, well, can you come in a half hour early? Sure. And God just looks at the heart. He just looks at the heart. Well, I don't know if I want to come. I don't know if I want to come to that service. But I'll come to another one. I'll go to one where there's food. And God just looks at the heart. God just sees what's in the heart. That's all. And He puts things in front of us, and He sees. And hopefully we're able to see our own selves. Hopefully we're able to evaluate ourselves just very honestly, very very honestly, because that's the way God sees us. We're not fooling anyone. And God wants to see what's there, or God wants you to see what's there, because He already knows what's there, and He puts us in this situation so that you will see what's in your heart. Because He is a tester of the heart. And we could go on and on. God puts us in situations where He gives us the opportunity to speak His name. And we might not want to speak His name, but if another subject comes up, we'll speak that subject. We'll talk about that subject. Sports comes up, yeah, I'll talk about sports. This subject, politics, comes up, yeah, I'll talk about politics. Oh, Jesus? No, I don't think so. It's just what's in the heart. That's all. And God gives us the opportunity to see what's in the heart. And he wants us to call out to him and say, and even for us to realize, this is what's inside me, God. I know you saved me, and I know you've given me eternal security, and I'm very thankful for that, but I still need change, Lord. I still need to be worked on. I still need to be more like Jesus. I still see this is there, and I don't want it anymore. I want to be more like you. And he gives us that opportunity over and over and over again. If we will just realize it. If we will just see what God is doing. He gives us the opportunity to show if we're happy with what God is providing us or if we're dissatisfied with God as a provider. Oftentimes I think that God says that He provides for the sparrow, how much more will He provide for us? And that is true, He provides for us. But sometimes what birds eat isn't that nice. Sometimes what birds eat is not steak, and it's not... But God says, I'll provide for you. It might not be everything that you want, but I'll provide for you. And He wants to know, will you be content with that? With His help. With His help, we can be. And really only with His help. With His grace, we can. In ourselves, we are powerless against the intense cravings of this flesh. But with His ability, we can do all things. We can accomplish all things. It starts with the desire in us. Do you want? Do you want? And that is a beginning question. Do you want God to work these things out of your life and let Him make you more like Christ? If you want that, then God will give you the grace to do it. Because He wants that too. And if we want what His will is, the Bible tells us that He answers those prayers. So it's up to it's our choice. Where do we want? Do we want to stay the way we are? Do we want to change? Do we want to continue in the certain path and say, well, I'm old enough. I'm not going to change anymore. My days of change are done. Or are we going to say, no, as long as I have breath, I want to keep changing more and more into the image of Christ every single day. I want to be like Jesus as much as possible. When I see Him face to face, I want to be like who He is and give it all my energy to become Christ-like each and every day. It's our decision. His name be praised. Let's go.